response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It is Saturday. You know what that means. It is time for the greatest sports show of all time. Quite possibly. I don't know. Any other station around. We are definitely it. Do not tell the guys that host primetime that. But I'm going to say what I said. This is Rashad Taylor. I got my guy Brandon Henson behind the glass. What's up, B?
What's up, sir?
The real B Hen, man. What's going on with you, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much, man. Listen, Boss Man's going to be mad at me probably, but I lost my fob like years ago. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw my fob. And so I know this morning I'm getting up for the show. I know Joe's out. Joe is second week. I don't know. Joe might have quit. I don't know if you saw him.
I saw him this week,
but he's out. Jordan is out celebrating, I believe, his wife's birthday. So, nice. You know, happy birthday to Miss Schultz. And so, yeah, I had to call in the big guns. My guy, B. Hen, man.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Thank you so much.
No but, problem, dog.
I had to call in one other piece of heavy artillery, at least for me, man. So, usually, again, when I do these shows, kind of sans a number two in that chair outside of, you know, whomever my producer is for the day. I like to have people on from the community. And considering everything that's been happening just here in Portland lately, and we can, you know, mean the Blazers, we can mean the Lloyd Center. We can mean all the things that have kind of gone on around our city. There's one guy that I really, really want to come in. Initially, I thought my man was going to say no. I listened and initially thought when I texted him at first, it was kind of like I got that first like, I ain't really, you know, it's been a minute type thing. And I was like, man, just come on. You know, it's always a good time. But he is the director of development for Self Enhancement Incorporated, which is and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, the second largest culturally specific organization in the state of Oregon outside of one of the casinos. I believe that to be that. And he's the person that's in charge of going to get money for them. Fresh off of the homecoming that they had Music Soul Child here a couple weeks ago. Man, he is a coach. He is a father to some amazing students and athletes, man. He is a mentor of mine. He is one of the greatest storytellers in the history of Portland, and I feel today we're going to get a few of those. He is my guy, my friend, Mr. Anthony Deloney. Thank you for coming, Mac Long.
Thank you, Rashad. That was an amazing introduction. Appreciate you.
Oh, man, it's most of the stuff that I can find on your Facebook or find, you know, so it's not, don't trip. Like, I mean, it's stuff that was pretty easy, but it was important for me to kind of have you on today. Like, as things have developed with the Blazers, right. You know, there's somebody I know that has a ton of connection to the Blazers and everything, and whose company has a lot of connection to the Blazers, and we'll get to that at a point. But yeah, man, I appreciate you for showing up today.
I never say no, my guy. We've been doing this for years. I was shocked when you told me you've been doing this for 13 years.
It's been 12 years now.
That's
man.
Wild.
It's been 12
That's
years.
Wild.
My son was two.
Yeah.
And I have a great picture of being at Hunt for the Host and holding my son as I'm waiting to go up.
Yeah.
And Miss Alicia Schoyer, who no longer works here, shout out to my girl Alicia, took this amazing picture of my son. And he's a sophomore in high school now, a part of your amazing organization, Self Enhancement, you know.
That's
so
my guy.
So yeah, so man, it's kind of a full circle thing. But when I decided, or when I got the okay to kind of have people on from my community, you were the first person I called. So you were the absolute first co-host that I ever said, hey, man, you should come do the show with me, bro. I think it'd be fun.
Well, I remember you were a full-time employee when you were going through that contest.
Yes.
And I remember using the company email to tell everybody to vote for you. So,
man, hey, man.
I don't know if that was a conflict of interest.
You know what? It worked, at least for that, you know, at least for that first night. So I remember a story on that. So first night of Hunt for the Host. And we're all super nervous and everything. Nobody knows what to expect. Nobody knows what to do. And I think I do okay, right? I don't think I did like great to even make it that far to like to top three. I mean, I thought I was good, but I was like, I got might have been a little bit better. But I remember telling people, you know, hey man, I was at my team meeting and was like, hey, going for this radio job, I might need some votes. And I remember people kept voting on the first night for me, and they were, and Dusty, who was the producer of Primetime at that point, was like, "You guys don't have to vote for Rashad. He'll be fine tonight. You can stop voting for him. Like, it's okay." Like, I'm talking mass votes came That's through right. all of a sudden. So, That's yeah, right. so shout out to SEI for that part, man. So, and I want to say this, too. This might make some people mad out there listening, but I think it's one of the first times we got, I got three brothers in the studio at the same time.
Hey.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It was inevitable.
I mean, it was going to happen at one point, you know. So it was going to happen. I mean, I think it might have happened one other time and it was during Black History Month. So that
of course it was.
That tracks, right? Yeah, so that tracks. It. But here we are, man. And yeah. So you just told me that you are going to be one of the coaches for our alma mater, the Ulysses S. Grant High School. Is that true?
Grant High School. I'm back. They got me out of retirement. I'll be one of the assistants this year over at Grant.
That's awesome, man. I know you've been able to kind of coach a lot of great young Portland talent that's kind of come through, and some of which have gone on to the highest of the high, which is the NBA. Some of which have gone on to play overseas, which people out there listening who don't know, mm-hmm. I think when we say overseas basketball, you went to go play in China, you went mm-hmm. to go play in Germany, you played in Mexico, you're thinking you took a major step down from the NBA. And it is definitely not that level, right? But there are some great kids out there, some great players out there. These dudes are getting paid, though. There's a lot of these guys that are going mm-hmm. overseas and playing in Uruguay or wherever the case
is.
You
can make a good living.
Yeah, yeah. Making a great living. I've started to notice that, at least for me, and you can tell me you're much closer to the coaching aspect of things than I am, but I'm starting to see a lot of kids that are starting to understand that I can make money elsewhere, not necessarily in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And so as long as I can get on, have a good, solid college career and mm-hmm. everything like that, there's mm-hmm. a good chance I'm going to play basketball until I'm 30.
Well, listen, you know, like I tell, you know, my guys, dribble till they take that ball out of your hands, right? Because work is waiting for you on the other side. So just to be able to go over there, and what people don't always know is that, you know, you don't have to pay for housing. You don't have to pay for your car. So you can really stack play 5, 6, 7 years, whatever that may be, and start your life debt-free, right, with a nice little nest egg to really begin. And I can tell you, you know, people my age that started that way, that are doing, you know, really good things in the community because of that head start.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We know, and honestly, a lot of those people, a lot of them came through to work at SEI.
Yeah.
You know, after they finished their playing career and stuff like that, man, gone on to – how can I give back? And not just in a sports aspect. Like, what can I do for community to make sure? B, where you're from, I'm curious, was there many, like, youth development organizations, especially ones that are, like, predominantly, like, Black or Latino, or, you know, serve, like, the Jewish or Asian communities?
I think so. I wasn't really a part of any of them, but I think I know of a lot coming from the Phoenix area and coming from L.A. especially. It's definitely out there, and it's also very important for that to happen. So anytime that we can get kids to reach their dreams and their opportunities is always necessary, and especially in the Black community, that's especially important.
Absolutely. One of the things that you were a huge part of is Self-Enhancement has been located here in Portland since 1981,
mm-hmm.
and you were able to replicate Self-Enhancement out in Miami through a relationship with Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, so
how does that happen?
So Alonzo is down in Miami, right? And so let me go all the way back. So SEI started as a 1 week basketball camp, right? For people that don't know this. So we have a lot of basketball roots.
For sure.
We started from there. But the secret was that this has never been about basketball, right? Like the first day of camp, we say, hey, what are the percentages? Let's imagine, right, that you play high school basketball, right? Let's just fast forward and assume you make varsity. What percent gets a D1 scholarship, right? It's 1%.
Yeah, it's very small.
It's 1%.
The smallest percent.
So there's 100 of you in here. So which one of you, right, is getting the D1? And then he'd raise his hand. I say, put your hand down because you're not that good, right? And the reality is, oh, this is hard. However, here are all the other things that you can do, right, in the community. And I always say, close your eyes and let's go down to the Rose Garden, right? And let's count all the jobs we see that are not on the court, right? And I say, look at that scoreboard. Whoever maintains that mm-hmm. is wealthy, right? Whoever got the contract to screw these seats into the chairs, right?
The walls.
They're wealthy, right?
Yeah, well, for all. Well, we hope.
You know what I'm saying? We hope. And so there's doctors, there's lawyers, there's agents, there's so many jobs outside of that. So what we always say, and you'll hear this whenever we talk about SEI, is life has options.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's what we want because it's hard, right? It's rare. That's why these people are so special. But for the rest of us, right, there's opportunities to love the game and still be involved in a certain way. So to your question, we've been able to expand what we do. Alonzo Mourning basically heard about us. It's a crazy story where he and his representatives connected with our CEO. So we replicated an SEI down in Miami.
Wow.
I then had some alumni contact me from Atlanta, probably about 15 years ago now, and we replicate our basketball camp down in Atlanta. But at the end of the day, our main focus is right here in Portland.
You want to hear the crazy part about that? Is that Atlanta and Miami are not short of black people.
No, no.
Not short of, more than that, not short of prominent black people and athletes that could do something like a self-enhancement, or like a Boys and Girls Club, you know, to be able to really provide stuff for students. So the fact that they saw, no, what they're doing over here, let's replicate it. As somebody who's not, I'm not going to say ran it. You wouldn't let me run the basketball. run basketball camp. You wouldn't let me run basketball camp.
You had a major hand in running camp.
Man, I went and got pizza. You know,
don't
I turned
sell
in time
short,
sheets.
My guy.
I turned
you,
in
you
time sheets. But as somebody who had a hand in these basketball camps, I can tell you there's nothing like those, and we're going to make sure we talk more about them because there has been some incredible talent from even back in the 1980s up until now that have come through that basketball camp, and really it's become a proving ground for young athletes here in Portland. So we're going to definitely talk about that. But we do have some other sports to talk about. The Blazers had a big step forward with the city. What does that mean, and how close are we to this whole thing being wrapped up? Also, we want to talk a little NFL, not a whole bunch. We're just going to go around. I want everybody to tell me who they think the worst roster in the league is going to be this year, but also who the best one is going to be. So we're going to try to take our bias out of it as far as being a Patriot fan, being a Broncos fan, being a
Patriots fan.
B, I knew I liked you, bro.
Man.
I knew you were my guy, man. I just, there's something about him. He glows.
Y'all got lucky. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, man, y'all had the same snow we had, but we did have our quarterback. That's at least,
anyway,
you know, that's
leave
at
it
least
alone.
Something.
I'm going to leave it alone.
So, the Lakers also have a new owner again for like the second time in a year or something like that. But we'll talk about Joshua Kushner and his brand new franchise that, I'm not going to say it's weird, but it feels weird. But we'll do that and so much more right here, Sports Saturday.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
5-1 the Fan. So a couple days ago, Portland City Council voted 8-4 to approve a non-binding term sheet at the dedication, dedicating $120 million in public funding, you're welcome, towards arena renovations. So we're closer, right? It looks like Portland city officials, you know, stop sitting on their hands and stop, you know, or at least most of them. I would like to know who the other four people were. I think we should collectively egg their house, figuratively. Don't nobody actually go out there and egg anybody's houses. Like, but why we would vote against having the Trailblazers in Portland, or why we would vote against, because that's essentially what you'd be doing. If you're not voting for giving the monies, you're essentially voting for them to go away. And I was just really curious of why they would vote to not have this team, or to not, you know, contribute that money. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It was signed 8-4. So now we wait, right? Now there's more waiting to do. But as a Blazers fan, where did that put you? What mind frame that put you in? For me, it was just more of a, okay, we knew this was going to happen. I think a lot of us knew it was just a matter of time before it happened, why it took so long to kind of happen, and why there was so much pushback about something that I think not even Portland fans, but most sports fans would kind of understand. Like, the franchise doesn't own the arena. Mm-hmm. The franchise is a tenant mm-hmm. of the arena, mm-hmm. right? That's like saying, because, you know, Beyonce came, Beyonce owns the arena. She does not, right? She comes and rents it for one night, does business, and moves forward. The Blazers just rent it for 50 nights, mm-hmm. and that's what they do. So in no way would I be responsible for the renovations in, you know, if I worked for Mr. Delone, no way I'd be responsible for the renovations in his spot. Right? That's just that would never happen.
Yeah.
So I was glad it was that part is over, at least for now. And so we'll see what new roadblocks are put in the way, because it feels like every time we get close, there's something new. Oh, well, what about these taxes now? I mean, are we going to change those tax codes any point? But so we'll see what that is. But as a Blazers fan, as a Portland resident, initial reactions to seeing that first deal was signed?
I think it allows people that love the team to exhale a little bit.
Yes.
Right? It's not done until it's done. I tell you, watching this whole thing play out reminds me, I'm a little older, but you guys remember Major League?
And the whole premise of that
was like, the owner does the worst things possible so I can move the team freely.
Make it super cheap.
Right?
Cheap planes, cheap everything.
I tell people to go back and look at that. And a lot of this has felt just like that. But I think this allows the runway to make this happen. Because at the end of the day, you can raise your hand and say, hey, I want to move the team. But you need the commissioner's permission. You need the rest of the owners.
You need the other city's permission.
Right. Exactly.
And to our knowledge, and I think Jordan kind of touched on this last week, we haven't heard Kansas City come out and say, yeah, we'll take a new team.
Right.
Or we haven't heard, you know, Nashville come out and be like, yeah, bring the team to us. For everything that Dundon wants to do as far as, you know, maybe getting a new arena and everything, you're going to have to do that wherever you move.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, if giving or not giving $120 million was an issue, like, you think he's going to shell out $1 billion?
Right.
Nah.
So I think it allows everybody to breathe a little bit and knows that this is one more positive step.
Yes.
So if you leave, it won't be because of money, because you got what you asked for. Right. So I think it makes it really hard for him to justify trying to leave if you got pretty much exactly what you wanted.
I'm curious, as a non-Blazer fan, but somebody who watches the Blazers, obviously.
And works for the Blazers.
Well, I'm so, excuse me, he is a huge Blazers fan. If anybody's listening, he is his favorite team. You know what I'm saying? He's got PJs and everything else, man. He is a Blazers fan.
Not to that level.
But I'm curious, like, we're very vested, and obviously you are too. Being, because if they move to Nashville,
I'm out of.
I don't think they're taking
job.
You with them. Yeah, yep. I think you'd be here. But where does that put you as not just a watcher, but an employee?
I mean, this is obviously a hot topic. It's been a hot topic all summer. I'm personally kind of sick of it, because I think it's going to get done eventually. I think it's just been a lot of drama in between and a lot of impatience on both sides. So I think it will get done eventually. I'm glad that this first step has been done and taken care of. But now I feel like there's another 5-6 steps still to go.
There are.
And we're just going to be sitting again, waiting and being impatient and overreacting and starting to rant on what's going to go wrong, why isn't anything happening, and just start the panic.
Because
and naturally that's how we are as humans, is that if something's not going the way we think it's going to, we start to panic and we start to react emotionally.
And so the next step of this whole thing, and I think the reason there is that panic that you mentioned, is because Dundon still has to sign a 20-year lease with the city. So far that hasn't happened. I believe we have until December.
I think it's
end of December to get that signed and get that ready to go and everything. We've talked about this, Anthony, on the show, and it was like, I'm one of those people that feels like everything Dundon has done has been, at first I kind of chalked it up as, hey man, here's a guy from hockey, things mm-hmm. they do different mm-hmm. differently in hockey, like mm-hmm. two-way players don't travel mm-hmm. for playoffs in hockey, mm-hmm. right? You know, they don't get late checkouts or whatever, right. at least, you know, so there's certain things like, all right, man, cool. You just didn't know. Now I'm like, oh, no, you knew all the stuff. You knew two-way players couldn't travel or could travel, and you were like, nah, we're good. Mm-hmm. You knew it would piss people off to not give the fans T-shirts. Mm-hmm. You knew it would piss people off to lowball the coach that just got you into the playoffs and try to get a coach. You knew it pissed not just fans. It pissed off the coaches association that was like, yeah, right. What the hell?
One-year contract.
Who does that for a coach?
Right? Unheard of.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, you knew the early checkout at the hotels would bother people, not letting your commentary team go or not firing your mm-hmm. broadcast team. Like, you knew all these things would agitate a fan base who wasn't pissed off. Mm-hmm. Blazer fans felt the best we felt in 5 years this year.
Yep.
This was the year you got an all-star.
Yep.
You got a guy that should have won most improved in Denny Avia, but whatever. You go from 16 to damn near 25, mm-hmm. and you get most improved player, but I digress. You get a coach that looks like he kind of knows how to at least mm-hmm. rally his guys mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. You find out Damian Lillard came back. Like, you got Dame back.
For free,
you know,
basically.
For free.
Right.
Drew Holiday stayed. Like, right. You seen that movie Draft Day?
Yeah.
Terrible movie. Yeah. But, I mean, the most unrealistic movie until this year.
Right.
Because it seemed like everything that happened in Draft Day, for whatever reason, happened to the Blazers. So mm-hmm. you get Drew Holiday. He says, nah, I don't want to be in Portland and everything. Mm-hmm. So you're able to so you trade Dame, you get Denny, and you get a bunch of other guys that you didn't really love, like DeAndre Ayton, mm-hmm. but you did also get Tamani Kamara
yeah.
and everything. You were able to flip Malcolm Brogdon for was it Denny? I think you flipped Malcolm Brogdon for and some other stuff. You've sprinkled a little fairy dust on this stuff, and you got Drew Holiday back. You got Dame back. Denny became an all-star. Tamani is an all-defensive guy, mm-hmm. not this year, but mm-hmm. you know, overall, he's one of those ones. Donovan Clingan leads the league in blocks, you know, or at least or blocks or rebounds.
Rebounds.
Blocks or rebounds? Yeah, I think it's rebounds.
I think it might have been offensive yeah. rebounds.
I think he's the top yeah. top rated in 2K yeah. as yeah. far as rebounds are concerned, you know, this
That's
year.
That's the most important.
Which is a huge thing. Like, yeah. you got big strides from Shaden before he, you know, went down. Scoot yeah. came in and looked like, oh, that's the guy that you drafted number three. Mm-hmm. That makes sense all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So as Blazer fans, the vibes couldn't be higher,
yeah.
right, at this point. So then I think you have and when you're moving a franchise, think about any franchise that's moved, mm-hmm. any sport, mm-hmm. the fan base is unhappy. Mm-hmm. The Chargers aren't happy in San Diego. Mm-hmm. The Expos aren't happy in Montreal. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, let's make – you can't move a franchise that's fans are happy.
Yeah.
And that's and in a market like Portland, they're overperforming if you're Facts. The Blazers and everything. So, like, you have a happy fan base, you can't move them. Unless I start pissing people off, then it's a little easier for them to say, like,
Major
whatever.
League. I'm trying to
Major
tell
Major League.
So it felt like a lot of it. It felt like a lot of it was intentional.
Right.
Right.
That's what
and,
it feels like.
Almost silly. Like, come on. How much are you really saving with the early checkout? Right. All that stuff. And so you're trying to send a message, and a lot of it is just leverage. I understand business and how people make those moves, but to your point, Portland is different.
Very different.
Right, that we don't have a long history of a bunch of teams. So the Blazers, they are ours, right?
Yeah.
We enjoy the Blazers, right? And to be honest, the biggest secret in Portland is that you don't have to be a contender for us to be happy.
No.
Right?
No.
Be a good guy and compete every night, and the Portland fans will love you.
100%.
100%. And that's the secret.
And you look at anybody that's like truly been loved in the city, it's
that's
more
right.
than just basketball.
Yeah.
Like, I think Drexler might be the one outlier just because Drexler was around, but he wasn't really around like that for a lot of folks. Like, but Terry Porter, to see
yeah.
him out somewhere,
yeah.
to see Kersey out somewhere, to have your mom or something like that, or your auntie
yeah.
dance with Cliff Robinson at
yeah.
a club at Chidon's or something like that. Like, those things were plausible. Like, they were visible. And so even CJ, like,
yeah.
if you go by the Boys and Girls Club on
yeah.
MLK, there's still a kind of a painting of CJ because I think he
something
was involved. To their, like, gave him a new
yeah.
computer lab or something
Good
along
guys.
Those lines. Yeah.
I have a how much time we got?
So we're gonna break, but
we're
actually
break?
I wanted to talk about.
I got
about
an amazing story about that old school team that you guys will love.
So I want to not only talk about that, but
yeah.
I want to talk about as far as business, because self-enhancement is one of those organizations that was directly impacted
yeah.
by the Blazers. We're going to talk about that. And also, again, I told you, he's one of the best storytellers that I've ever heard. So he's going to tell some Blazer stories, especially yeah. that pertain to Portland. We're going to do that.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, the crazy thing about this song, besides it being one of my favorite records, this reminds me of Oaks Park. So I'd go skating, you know what I'm saying?
Old
and
school.
I learned how to skate backwards and all this stuff and everything. Number one, let you know this, man. I guess it's a good segue. An amazing skater. Ice skating, roller skating, rollerblading, like you name it, we can do it, man. I had my first opportunity to ice skate at the now defunct Lloyd Center, which is insane to say. RIP to the Lloyd Center, man. Such a huge
part
of Portland. So I walked through the Lloyd Center on Friday. So last Saturday was the final day, and ended up being a great, you know, setting and everything for people. But I ended up walking through the Lloyd Center on Friday, and there were a bunch of people there, and I got kind of pissed off. Because I was like, man, where were y'all at?
Where
were y'all at 5 years ago? Like,
when
seriously,
they were dying.
Now everybody wants to be all nostalgic and stuff, but where were you when, you know what? But like anything, like video killed the radio star. And so Amazon came about and shopping online came about, and there's no reason to go to the Marshalls or to the, I don't know, Mr. Rags or whatever no more at the Lloyd Center.
The Oak Tree.
Right? You know what I'm saying? But but the reason I think the people are so connected to the Blazers is because in Portland, we don't have a whole lot to really be attached to. The Lloyd Center was one of those things. The Blazers are another one of those things. And there's real financial impact of the Blazers not being here.
Mm-hmm.
Or being here, right? You know what I'm saying? The city profits, especially on game nights and stuff like that. Everybody, the Jackson stores are getting money because people are buying beers and stuff before they go in. The liquor stores that are right there are getting money. The Applebee's, or excuse me, the Red Robin is finally getting business at some point because people are actually watching the game in there. I don't think they do business any other time of year. Spirit of 77, there is not a reason to go to that bar unless you're going to watch a Blazer game. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it seems pretty dead. Self-enhancement is one of those organizations that if you've ever watched the Blazer game at one point, for every dunk I think that happened, there was some money that was donated to self-enhancement.
We've partnered with them for years on and off, like a lot of other nonprofits, but they've always been a part of who we are. And a lot of that is just relationships, right? I mean, I've been at SCI 30 years. So there were people at the Blazers that's been there 18, 19 years who we became really close with. And so we would always get that phone call, hey, we have tickets. We would have players that come in and sign and don't know anything about us, say, and they would purchase a whole section, right? And I want the SCI kids to be in this section. So we've been a part of the Blazers for years and years. But I always tell this story. So you guys are a little younger than me, just a little.
It's a couple years.
Right? But there was a time where the Portland police walked around with Blazer cars.
Yes, they did.
Right? And we would chase the police down. Right? Think about that.
Like, get a card and a sticker.
This is the Black History edition, right?
Yeah.
Well, we had black boys running after the police to say, hey, man, give me that Darnell Valentine. Give me that Bill Walton card, right? That was where we come from. So as we grew up, the Blazers were idols. They weren't just basketball players. There was no other teams, right? It was the Blazers.
Yeah. And so, people didn't root for Seattle like that.
There
was no rooting for the Seahawks. There was no rooting for the Mariners. All that stuff is really within the past 30 years.
Because of the Sonics, we hated Seattle, in fact.
Absolutely.
And anything connected to you.
And then the Sonics left, and it's like, well, I guess the Seahawks aren't that bad.
Yes. That's right.
Okay.
So let's take it back to seventh grade, right? We have to do a research project. And so me and my buddy get permission. I don't know how this happened. We just picked up the phone and called, let you know it was a different time, right? Seventh graders, hey, can we come down and interview the Blazers? They said yes. So we catch three buses, and back then they didn't have a practice facility. They practiced at the Jewish Middleman Center.
That's right, right. Yeah.
So it was just a community center, just like SEI. And so we go and we have no press passes. We have a tape recorder and seventh grade minds, right? And so as we walk in, the first thing we see is this black Volvo, right, with the lights on. And so we look down, and the license plate just says Kersey. It's a Volvo. It's a Volvo, not a Mercedes, not a BMW. It's a souped-up Volvo. So we go inside, and all these guys are just looking at us. Nobody escorts us in. And we just go up to Jerome and say, hey, Mr. Kersey, your lights are on. So, my bad. Throws us the keys, right? We go get the seventh grader.
You thought you were
We go
ballets?
Get in his car. Oh, listen.
Here you
go. We had a camera. When I tell you, we had a 15-minute photo shoot, right, with us behind the whip, kneeling down by the tires. But that was, right, the early stages. And so we're walking around just asking the Blazers questions after practice. This is right before the run, right? So Kiki okay. Vandeweghe is still there. Kersey isn't the starter yet. Clyde Drexler, Duckworth is a rookie,
mm-hmm.
right? All these guys are just amazing. And I asked Clyde Drexler literally the worst question of all time, and I still cringe when I think about this. So he's being super polite. They're all so sweet. And I don't know any better. So I say, hey, Clyde, when you play like Magic and Bird, are you ever intimidated? He must have looked at me like I stole $20 from him. He's like, bro, I'm just as good as the rest of them. Don't you ever. I was like, oh, my bad, Clyde.
You're the reason Clyde don't like us now, man. Yeah.
I didn't know anybody.
You're the reason Clyde right? don't mess with Portland now.
But amazing guys. But that's how accessible they were. Seventh graders called, and they let us in.
And I think that's the crazy thing. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not. And I know you also gave a story about the Blazers showing up before the first game of this season or this past season.
Oh yeah. So they are connected. When I say we professionally, we have a great relationship. So the day before the season starts, we had the opportunity to host the Blazers. So the entire team showed up, and we were going back and forth about how we want to do this. And what I said was, I don't want us just to do a photo shoot and you can, you know, hear somebody shooting baskets. No. We want the Blazers to come and experience SCI the same way our students experience. So they come over on buses, right? Just like our students. We rotate them around dance class, computer class, all these other things. So if you go to our Instagram, Self Enhancement Inc., you got Donovan Klingon in dance class shaking and bouncing.
Oh, we
got
to get Donovan Klingon some video.
Learning dance. Yeah. So you can pull it. It's amazing, right? We go into gym talk where we learn our standards and our rules and our regulations and things that make us SCI. And you got Dame singing Party in the USA, right? Like it's an amazing event. And that was the day before the season started. So we are connected. One more story. How connected they are to us. So we were, I left my keys or something at SCI on a Saturday. So I go up there, this is probably 5 years ago, and nobody's there, just a couple cars in the parking lot, and I hear a commotion in the computer lab. So I just go, what's going on? There's probably 7 or 8 kids, 2 adults, and Dame Lillard. With a backpack.
Just chilling on a Saturday.
No entourage.
And you know he live in Lake Oswego,
right?
Man.
No entourage, no squad. And not just chilling in the back like, nah, hold on, man. You got to hold F1, right? He's really in here engaged with the kids. Nobody, no cameras, no nothing. But that's the connectedness I've seen the Blazers have.
Yeah.
And shout out to those guys for being always accessible. So they don't get a lot of credit and love, but I've seen that firsthand.
And I can imagine, you know, for them, especially in a city that we often talk about is not incredibly black,
yep.
you know, to have, because more than just an organization for young black kids, like mm-hmm. you kind of serve as a hub for the black community. Like, mm-hmm. so having something like a couple weeks ago, there was the SCI homecoming, which
yeah.
is pretty much the celebration of like the birthday party,
yeah.
pretty much of self-enhancement. And Music Soul Child was there. So everybody's TT, everybody's mom,
everybody.
You know, all the smell of Drakkar and yeah. White Diamonds all through Unthank Park. But it's stuff like that and
yeah.
the connectivity to black community that I think the Blazers and Blazers players just enjoy. You know, it's
yeah.
a little bit different. You know, like when the Jail Blazers documentary came out, you notice when they were talking to a lot of kids and a lot of families and stuff like that, they were usually from the West Side. They were from Lake Oswego. Mm-hmm. They were from Beaverton. Mm-hmm. They were from Tigard. They weren't from North Portland. They didn't go to Sitton Elementary. They didn't go to Peninsula. They didn't go to Grant. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't go to, at that point, Madison or anything like yeah. that. They made sure they asked those people. But if you asked a lot of us, man, I remember the Blazers just being always a part of this community. Like, they're a part of the cultural zeitgeist here in Portland. Like, the Blazers are it. Like, I remember living in Vegas, and I would meet people, and I'm like, I'm from Portland. The first thing they said, like, Maine? And I was like, what? Like, we're on the, number one, we're not that far from Las Vegas, number right. one. But you, the first thing you thought was Maine? And we're like, what's Portland? I said, Oregon. It's like there's a Portland,
they got,
Oregon.
They got black people there?
And then I say, do you watch basketball? He's like, yeah, the Trailblazers? I thought that was in Maine.
Wow.
Bro, all right, man. So, like, even Maine gets more love than Oregon does as far as that. But, yes, like, that is kind of the pillar is the Trailblazers. So them not being around is bad news.
I think a lot of times people don't get the, like, especially the players, right? They come from all these different places. And when they come in to buy a house and where to send your kids, they get, oh, they live in Beaverton. They live in West Lynn.
They probably figure out the taxes before they move there, right?
And they realize quickly, you don't live in Portland. You live, and nothing wrong with that. And so when they finally come to SCI, and they say, I didn't know. I didn't know this existed. And now that I'm here, how can I get involved?
You know, and that brings up a good point. We should play a fun game of Is It Portland? And I'm going to name out certain areas of this.
Hey, man, I don't want nobody calling me.
Hey, man, no, because they'll call me. More than likely, they'll get in touch
with me. Please call Rashad.
But we should be very clear, because I don't know how many times in college or something like that, and I'd be like, oh, where are you from? I'm from Portland. Oh, me too. It's like, okay, what school did you go to? Oh, I went to I don't know, McNary. It's like, what?
That's, wow.
What? No. No. Oh, man, yeah. I went to school out in Wilsonville. It's like, that's
not the same.
That's not, like,
it's not the same.
It's not, bro. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, we spent a lot of time talking about the impact. We spent a lot of time talking about the business side of things.
Yeah.
One thing we haven't talked about enough is the actual team.
Mm.
What is the minutes going to look like for this team? What's the competition going to look like on this team? Who are they going to be better than in the Western Conference? I think it's going to be a few teams. We'll finally talk about Blazers basketball when we come back right here. Sports Saturday on The Fan. 9:46 on 8:15:26. My mom is having her birthday party later this afternoon. Hopefully the weather, and I'm knocking on wood, hopefully the weather holds up, you know, because it was looking a little gray this morning, but
looking very Portland-y outside.
Very Portland outside. You know, I even saw, like, some what I assume were raindrops.
Yeah, it was like cloud particles. It was that's like mist.
I couldn't tell. It was like,
I had a couple sprinkles.
Yeah,
I had a couple sprinkles,
and it was literally a couple. And I was looking, and I was like, man, is that rain right there?
It was four, to be exact.
So yeah, so I'm knocking on wood. Like, it was literally, like I said, it was like you. It was maybe two or three, and I'm like, did somebody spit on my car or what happened? But man. We've spent so much time talking about contracts and talking about renovations and talking about ownership and all these things, and we have really yet to talk about this roster, this, I don't know, impressive roster, question mark? I mean, small roster, question mark? Like, I think there are a lot of different ways people can look at this. Obviously, the addition of one Ja Morant, who was traded for somebody who was born in Portland, Mr. Jeremy Grant, right? And I think at points we're going to feel Jeremy's impact being gone, because he was somebody that can get you a few rebounds. He can knock down that quarter three, obviously. I think he led the league in three-point and ones this past year. So he is somebody that can be really effective. I think he's going to do some pretty okay things in Memphis. I mean, in Memphis. So, you know, there's that part. But adding Ja Morant to a roster that's already very full with guards, right? And especially with the addition of the now returning Damian Lillard. So far, and let me see what the depth chart says it looks like. ESPN has a starting lineup as Ja Morant, Damian Lillard, Tamani Kamara, Denny Avia, Donovan Clingan. Is that correct to you guys?
Yes.
So does that, did you say Holiday?
I did not say Holiday.
So they're assuming he's coming off the bench.
Yes.
Yeah, good luck telling him that. I mean, if I'm him, like, man, I'll roast both of these. Like, yeah. That's how he feels. So, yeah. Again, but don't let me cause no problems.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Dame coming back is a big deal. If you've seen the workouts from Dame, he looks ready.
Yeah.
He's moving great. He looks like he's, you know, Beanie Dame is what I'm calling him. You know, we had Hoodie Mello. You know, this is Beanie Dame, you know, working. Dame. Yeah, this is – he looks like he's ready to go. I've loved seeing Dame and Denny in the gym together. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been working out together. Dame has even started to learn some Mandarin to be able to really communicate with with Yang a little more. And he looked kind of okay in summer league. He looked okay in summer league last year. But, you know, but that's that. I don't necessarily love Ja Morant in the starting lineup. I think Dame, who is notoriously a terrible defender, just not because he doesn't try, he just can't do it. Now, coming off an Achilles injury, I'm curious of how great he's going to be laterally, because that's really what defense is your ability to move left and right and stuff. Ja Morant can't play defense at all. Mm-hmm. I think you get cooked. Mm-hmm. Whoever your starting guards are going to work, because they see, man, you have nobody that can hold them. I think Drew Holiday has to be your starter.
That's all I was thinking. So I think you have a kind of a problem. Unless, right, again, you know, this is clearly not middle school and high school basketball. But when you have those bodies, if you can turn up the temperature, if you can turn up the pace, you're right, all of a sudden there's plenty of minutes because we're playing at such a high tempo that, I need a sub.
Right.
Right. And so I think that's one way to do it. Now, to be honest, I was shocked that they said they didn't want to get they didn't want to move on from Holiday, just because he is the piece for a team that's 100%. This far from a championship. So I thought, and I still think, that that's waving out there. I think he's amazing. And from every report I've heard, he's one of the best guys in the building in terms of just being a human. But on the business side, it's like, I think you got to spin him out to get something for you.
But it seems like he wants to be here. Yeah. Like, because there was the initially, and I think we all kind of saw that there was some Drew Holiday buyout rumors that were happening and kind of circulating. And I think it kind of made a lot of Blazer fans real nervous, because you saw the impact of a Drew Holiday on the floor. He just makes your team offensively, defensively different and better. Like, I think a lot of the defensive mentality that the Blazers took on this past year were because of Drew Holiday. What's my guard? I don't think he's a Blake Wesley. You know, he's one of those guys that really kind of helped change your defensive mentality. And also Tamani Kamara. Like, those are the three guys that really put – obviously, Donovan Clingan is a shot blocker and all those things. So that goes without being said. Like, he's 7'2". Like, we expect him to really block some shots. But you and then you bring in Scoot Henderson, who's also a pretty solid defender as far as what he's able to do. So it's just kind of one of those things. Defensively, I think you can do some things. But in that starting lineup, if you don't have Scoot – or excuse me, if you don't have Drew Holiday as your starter, you're looking at really Tamani and Denny taking a lot of the in a league that has a ton of great threes and fours, you know, right now. And so they're going to need to be out there, but then they're going to end up guarding point guards and shooting guards, just because your two starting shooting guards or points can't guard the chairs that we're sitting in.
You know, yes, but I still think when you look at just the roster last year versus this year, you can say we just added Ja and Dame, right? Yes. So, yes, defense is important, but all of a sudden you got some explosiveness. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the best defense is, you know, scoring a whole bunch more points. And I think that backcourt could really cause some problems. And you know, I don't think we've talked a lot about, you know, Ja and, you know, the perceived issues. But to me, for the issues that he's perceived to have, I can't think of a better place for 100%. Him than Portland 100%. With Dame.
Absolutely.
Because that's one thing about the Blazers that anybody will tell you, this is his team, right? And even when he wasn't playing last year, you saw his stamp on how we are professionals, how we stand up, how, hey, Merrill, we don't do that here, right? And that's all culture is, right? How we do things here. And I think that is going to, I think we're going to get a better job because of Dame.
I think the first thing Josh should have did is move into Dame's spot. Don't even buy a house, bro. Don't even, cause, you know, Dame's got a basketball court at right. his spot. You know he has a guest room
yeah.
that you can stay in. Josh, don't even buy a spot for your first 4 months here. Come stay with me, work on that jumper, work on our game. Like, for real, that's where you should be. If you're Ja Morant and you've had, and there are issues, but let's be real. We talked about this during the break. Ja Morant showed a gun on Instagram. He didn't shoot said gun. I mean, he did have that one thing where somebody in his team hit somebody with the, think it was a gun, but it could have been a pointer, like a, you know, we don't, a laser pointer. We don't know, you know, at this point. But he's never been arrested for shooting anybody, for being in a part of any domestic disputes. He's never been arrested for drugs. He's never been cited for weed, as far as we know at this point. So he hasn't done anything wrong, per se, outside of being an idiot, being young, being lit. And anybody that holds their gun with two fingers like this as they're dancing, I'm sorry, I'm less than threatened.
Listen, there's a lot of internet stuff going around about, you know, he's the dude in 8 Mile, like Clarence's parents have a real good marriage.
Yeah, that's exactly
right?
him.
So
yeah.
So some of it is just pretend, right?
My man's name is Demetrius.
Right?
Stop it, bro. Like, come on.
But let's be real. Like, we like who we like, yes. right? And he had a style and a swag that a lot of people nationally didn't like. So when he did that thing, it got shot through the roof that, oh, he's this. And I think people tried to paint him as he's what's wrong with these young kids.
Right.
Right. And instead of dealing with the issue specifically, it was like, all these young kids are like that. And it almost played to our advantage because let's be real. Nobody's knocking down the door to come to Portland, Oregon through free agency. We talked off camera about the last major free agent we got was Brian Grant.
Brian Grant, the Rasta Monster.
Right? So nobody's really coming here in their prime. So we have to, right, get them at their lowest in terms of perception to get folks like that. And so what we gave up in Jeremy Grant, I think getting Ja is going to be a home run.
Now, I mean, I think it will be too. Like, yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy who at his very best is 24-8, you know, so 8 assists. So that means he's an unselfish player. And even with playing with those guys in Memphis, and even this past year, what did he average? 7 assists in the 20-something games that he played? So that's 7 assists to name 4 of the players from Memphis right now. Go, Brandon. 4 players from Memphis.
I
can't either because I don't watch any Memphis basketball. Yeah. Right? Can you name 3 players that play for the Grizzlies?
Man, no.
Yeah, rest in peace, Brandon Clark.
Not without Google.
Yeah, rest in peace, Brandon Clark. But outside of that, like I don't know a lot of Memphis players. And so I'm looking at a guy from like in Ja that was just, I think, apathy set in. Yeah. I think you're looking at a dude who was like, I do not want to be here in Memphis anymore. This is not going well. Coaching changes. Like roster changes, you took away my second best scorer and Desmond Bane and sent him to like you're blowing things up.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Get me out of here.
They're starting over.
Which is fine.
Right.
Which is fine.
Our gain. You
know? Yeah, our gain. Exactly. We get Ja Morant for a contract that seemed impossible to move.
Yep.
Nobody felt like they wanted Jeremy Grant's contract, and then which sucks because Jeremy Grant. He worked for it. Like, I mean, at that point, he was, like, considered the Blazers' best player, so he probably should have been paid, like, the best player. But I think you got him thinking that you were going to get Dame. Dame had other plans, and it all, you know what I'm saying, it all kind of blew up from there. I do want to ask, though, because, and we're going to do this in the next segment, I think this is going to be the year, and this is usually the year where teams take a step forward. The Blazers made the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's not going to be a play-in. I think they take a step forward and become a full-fledged, like, hey, we're in the mix. We're going to talk about who they're going to be better than. We need to know that. We're going to start with, obviously, the Western Conference, but we're also going to venture out into the East. You do got to play them twice a year, and there are some really, really dope teams in the Eastern Conference this upcoming year after the wildest offseason that we've possibly ever seen. I don't think that Eastern Conference is going to include Kawhi Leonard, though. That's a whole different story. Lord. Yeah, man. Kawhi, hey, man, that's can't get right, boss.
I need some of those endorsements.
Man, I don't know. I don't think it's bad, but hey, you know, I don't think you can do business like that. That and so much more. Second hour, Sports Saturday on The Fan.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.